All right, Tibbal, say good morning. So today's daf is Samech. We're going to start from Nun Tes Amud Beis, about 3, 6, 9 lines up from the bottom. So the Gemara says the following: Boy Minei Rabbi Ami Bar Ado, Harponami Rabba. So Rabbi Ami Bar Ado, Rabbi Bar Ado from Harpano, which was a place, inquired about the following question from Rabba: Sula Mikan Upesach Mikan Mahu. We'll say, what happens if Lemaisa, there is a opening, again, we're still talking about our city, that has a Rosh Sarabim that runs through it. But let's say on one side of the Rosh Sarabim there is a Pesach, an opening, and on one side of the Rosh Sarabim there's a ladder. So the truth is, if you have any of the picture books, it's picture 220. So we'll say, essentially what you have is, so one side is there's an opening, other side there's a closed wall, but against the closed wall is a ladder. So that technically speaking, you could go ahead and you could obviously get up the wall and get down the wall. So the Gemara says, what's the halacha in that case? When the Gemara says Mahu, what the Gemara is asking is that considered to be now a Rosh Sarabim Mefulash? Is that considered to be an open Rosh Sarabim, which again, as we've seen already for Erevin, certainly creates some we'll call Erevin conflicts. So the Gemara says, so Mahu Amarle, Hachi Amar Rav, this is what Rav said, Sulam, Toras Pesach Alav, Rav said that a Sulam, a ladder, has the status of an entrance. Because it will say, since a person could go up the ladder, down the ladder, that's like having an entrance. Unbelievable. Who? I'm sorry?
It's a permanent ladder, which is
why. No, it's a ladder that's there. Unbelievable. Rav Nachman, lo tatsisule. Rav Nachman said, don't pay attention to that. Hachi Omer Rav Ado, Omer Rav. This is what Rav Ado said, name of Rav. Thank you. Sulam, Toras Pesach Halav, Toras Mechitz Halav. So Rav Ado actually said in the name of Rav that a sulam sometimes has the status of an opening, sometimes has the status of a wall. Toras mechitza lav kidamron. So sometimes it has the status of a mechitza, in that again, Rav wants to suggest in this case, for example, in our that we just quoted over here, where you have the surabim on one side, it's open, on one side it's closed, but you have the ladder against the wall. That ladder does not constitute an opening, but rather again, that ladder doesn't constitute anything, therefore the wall is considered to be closed. Toras Pesach Alav, when does a ladder create an opening? Besulam Shevin Shtei Chatzeros. When you have ladders in between two Chatzeros. So we'll say that's picture number 221. Where again, you have two Chatzeros that share a wall. There is no official opening between the wall. And therefore, ultimately, the only way to get from one side to the other is with the ladders. So the Gemara says, in that case, Ratu Echad Ma'ariv, Ratu, bless you, Ratu Shnayim Ma'arvin. In that case, we'll say the Chatzeros have a choice. They can make one joint Eruv, or they could go ahead and join in two different Eruv. So you see over there that the ladders have the ability to function as an opening, or to function as a mechitza. When we are Rav Nachman, did Rav Nachman really say this? When Rav Nachman or Shmuel, Rav Nachman's name is Shmuel, Anshei Chatzir v'Anshei Mir Peses, Sheshachachu below Eruv. If people have a Chatzir and people have a Mir Peses, and I will say, just to qualify this Mir Peses case, if you take a look at picture 222, so this Mir Peses was, if you can imagine like a structure, a two-story structure, like garden apartments. You have, right, people live on the bottom, people live on the top, and by the apartments on the top, there's, I guess, what we call today like a terrace. There's a terrace area. So there's like, but it's a larger, it's a usable area there for the people on the second floor. So the Gemara says, what happens if the people on the chotzer, which means people on the first floor, people on the lower floor, did not make a joint Eruv together. So the Gemara says, "In yesh lifnehem daka arba, eino oseres." If the ladder leading up to the second floor has a daka, so we'll say we discussed the daka. A daka is a small entranceway, like a small tzuras haPesach. So if there is a small tzuras haPesach, Rashi says, "Pesach katan gova arba, four tefachim off the ground." The ein osrin b'nei mir peses al pnei chaser does talikus. So we'll say if there's a small entranceway, then by definition that shows that the people who live in the Merpeses have separated themselves from the people of the Chatzar. If that's the case, then Lemaisa, there's no need for them to make an Eruv together. And therefore, if they did not make a joint Eruv, it's with the people, the lack of participation of the people on the upper story would in no way negate the Eruv for the people of the Chatzar. So the Gemara says, Hacham Ayaskinon, what's the case over here? Bidelo gavoa Merpeses asara. We're talking about over here a case of where the Mirpeses was not more than 10 tefachim off the ground. So the Gemara says, V'ilo gavah Mirpeses asara, ki ka'avid daka mayavi. But if the Mirpeses is not more than 10 off the ground, then who cares if you make the daka the small entrance, to which the Gemara says b'migufefes. What are we talking about over here? Where it's migufefes ad asara. So we'll say again, you can see this is picture 223. B'migufefes ad asara is the case over here of where there it's enclosed. There's an enclosure. The enclosure is now the wall itself between the mirpesas and the chaser is less than 10 tefachim. The wall completes the 10 tefachim, but more importantly, there's an opening of less than 10. So the Gemara says, the chavon the avid daka istaluki istaluk lemihacha. Since they have made this daka, they've made this little entranceway, so it's clear that they've removed themselves from the chaser. Amr Rav Yehuda Amr Shmuel. So we'll say, okay, so that's the case of the mirpesas. Amr Rav Yehuda Amr Shmuel. Kosal sheritzba bisulamos afidu biyaser me eser toras mechitza alav. So I'll say, if you have a wall that has contiguous ladders, so this is picture 224. Ritzba bisulamos. So again, you go from side to side with ladders across the entire length of the wall. So the Gemara says, toras mechitza alav. The wall still has the status of a mechitza on it. Or in other words, even the presence of all of those ladders, the ladders do not convert that area into a pesach, into an entranceway, but rather it's still considered to be a mechitza. Look at Rashi. Toras mechitza alav. Ve'ein mevatlin ha-mechitza lahavi kinifratz. The presence of all of the ladders does not go ahead and negate the wall identity to make it like it's open. So we'll say the idea over here would be that if, let's say, you were to go ahead and have a wall in between two chatzeros, and that wall would have ladders from one side to the other, we don't say that makes the wall as if it doesn't exist, and the wall as if it's open. Rather, we still consider it a wall, and therefore, lemaisa, the two chatzeros would still make two different eruvim. So the Gemara says, Rami le Rav Barona le Rav Yehuda le Ma'atzarta de Rav Chanina. So Rav Barona posed the following question to Rav Yehuda in the wine press of Rav Chanina. Mi amar Shmuel Toras mechitza alav? Did Shmuel really say that in this case where you have ladders against the wall? We'll say again, all the sugi is doing is trying to figure out when you have a ladder against the wall, so what does that do to the wall? Do we view the ladder as having created a pesach, or creating an opening in the wall? Or do we say that, no, the ladder is a ladder, that's not a pesach, but rather even with a ladder, it still has the status of a mechitza, of just the wall. And again, we've seen the nafkamina so far in all these cases. It has a nafkamina if you have Rosh Sarabin, and one side is closed, but with a ladder, the other side is open. Does the presence of the ladder make it like an open Rosh Sarabin on both sides? If you have a chatzer, two chatzeros, joining chatzeros with a wall in between, but there are ladders against the walls, does that make it like there's an opening between the two chatzeros, in which case they would have to make one joint Eruv, or no? Or it's still like there's two different Eruvs, still like it's two different... The wall is considered solid in two different Eruvim. If you have residents who live on an upper story and a lower story, and there's a ladder that leads to the upper story, does the upper story have to participate in the Eruv with the lower story or not? These are all the nafkaminas as to how you view a ladder. So the Gemara says, Mi amar Shmuel, Toras mechitza alav, va'amar Rav Nachman said aleinu Shmuel, anshei mirpesas va'anshei chatzer, sheshachachu v'lo irvu. And the people of the mirpesas, that's the upper story, and the people who live in the chatzer, the lower story, forgot and did not make a joint eruv together. Imish lefan hadaka arba, as long if there is a small entranceway of four, right, that little tzuras hapesach in front of the ladder of the mirpesas, ain't no seres. Then the lack of participation of the upper story in the eruv of the lower story does not prohibit the eruv of the lower story. Ve'imlav, and if not, useres. Then lemaisa, if there's no daka, then lemaisa what? It would go ahead and aser, which means Rabbi said that what? That the presence of the ladder essentially creates a pesach. In which case, again, the upper story is considered to be joined to the lower story, and they have to go out and participate in one eruv. To which the Gemara says, no. Hakam, I ask you, what's the case over here? The lo gava mirpesas asara. The mirpesas is not more than 10 high. The ilo gava mirpesas asara ki avet daka my hobby. But if the mirpesas is not more than 10 high, then why should it be that even if you make this little entranceway around the ladder, why should it be that it separates it at its own rishus? B'migufefes ad eser amos. What's the case? The case is where indeed, again, the mirpeses is surrounded, is enclosed, and there's an opening of less than 10 amos. The chevan de avid daka istaluke istalek mehacha. Because since, again, they made the daka, they made this little entranceway, it's clear that the people of the mirpeses are withdrawing themselves from the chatzer, and therefore don't have to participate in the eruv. Hano b'nei Kukinoi. They were the people of the city of Kukinoi. Kukinoi was a place. Kakunoi. The Osile Kamei Rav Yosef. Amrle Havlan Gavre Dele Aravlan Masion. So the people of Kukinoi, Kakunoi, came before Rav Yosef and they wanted to make an Eruv. So they said to Rav Yosef, send us one of your Talmidim to help us make an Eruv. Amrle La'abaye, so Rav Yosef picked Abaye and he said to Abaye, Zil Arev Luhum, go and make an Eruv for the people of Kukiani, and what? The Chazi, the Lo Mitzav Chalei B'mei Midrasha. So he gives him very interesting instructions. He says, make sure that they can't complain about your Eruv in the base Medrash, right? Which is another way of saying, make sure you do a good job. Make sure you do a good job. You think everything through, and they should have no. Meaning, you know, what he's really saying, Rabosa, is things don't change all that much. You know, don't let it be that someone says, oh, Abaye's Eruv, I don't hold to that Eruv, right? I don't use that. It's good for you. Right? But for me, I don't. So he says that Abaye, make sure that you make an Eruv that no one's going to say it's not good enough for them. So I'm really about to speak Gemara to the fine. Azul, so Abaye goes, Chazal Ahanu Bati, Basi, De Pesichi Lenara. So Abaye goes, and I also remember, what we're going to see over here, is, look at Rashi for just a moment. The Arev Masyon, the Ir Shal Rabin, the Naasis Shal Yachid Havya, Ubayishir. So mostly, what kind of city was this? This was an Ir Shal Rabin, the Naasis Shal Yachid. Now, it's true, it doesn't really matter if Naasis Shal Yachid. It's an Ir Shal Rabin. It was a city that belonged, that had more than 600,000 people, real Ir Shal Rabin, that became an Ir Shal Yachid. I will say, remember, as we saw in yesterday's daf already, that's whenever you're making a joint Eruv for an Ir Shal Rabim, even if it's no longer an Ir Shal Rabim, what do you have to do? You have to exclude some area from the Eruv. Because again, the concern is that if you make an Eruv for the entire city, people will forget about the concept of Hotsav Kenz. You have to exclude some area. Sabai walks in, and the first thing he tries to figure out is what? Who or what should be excluded? So what did he see? Chaza lahano badi de pesichi the nara. He saw these row of houses that opened up. They had an entrance. They were waterfront homes, right? But their only entrance was towards the water. They had no entrances towards the city. Rashi says de pesichi the nara, pesichi the nara, pischayan achori ha'ir the nahar velohayla and pesach pasuach le'ir. So they only had one entranceway, and they were waterfront. So they faced the water. They entered, exit towards the water, but did not have any entrance towards the city. Amr honey the Havishir Lamasa. So Abaye said, oh, these homes, this will be the excluded area for the Eruv. Hadir Amr, then he said to himself, Ein Ma'arvin es Kulatna. The Mishnah said that when you're making an Eruv for a city of an Eruv Shal Rabim, you can't go ahead and make an Eruv in the entire city. Michlal di'i bo'i li'iruvei matzi mi'arif. So we'll say, Abaye made an interesting diuk. Abaye said that you should not make an Eruv for the entire city, rather you should exclude something. But the chat that Abaye said was, what has to be excluded? Something that technically could have been included. So therefore, Eli, obviously, and what's the problem with these homes? The problem with these homes is because they don't have entrances that face towards the city, technically speaking, they could not be included in the Eruv for the city. So therefore Abaye says, okay, not a problem. Eli, Avin Luhu Kavi, so Abaye says, not a problem, we'll carve out windows, because also we've seen already before that Lemaisa, if you have windows that have an area of Dalid by Dalid, then that constitutes a Pesach, that actually works like an opening, and that would allow those homes to technically join with the Eruv of the city. Once they could technically join with the Eruv in the city, then what? It sounds a little interesting. Once they can join, they're now fit to be excluded. Hadar Amar, then he said to himself, now, lo boy, I don't think we actually need to make these windows. Why? Doharaba barabuha ma'ariv lehu lekula mechuza, arsiyasa, mishum pera de beituri. Dechochad vechad havishir lechavre. Supposed to listen to this. So he remembered then that Rabba Baravua used to make a separate Eruv for every neighborhood in the city of Mechuza. Why did he have to make a separate Eruv for every neighborhood? Because we'll say, remember, we actually saw this earlier in the Masechta. There were what these called these peri de tour. There were these long trenches that were, let's say, four tefachim wide, four by four by ultimately 10 tefachim deep, constituting a separate rishus, right? Essentially a mechitza that divide that ran along the Rishus HaRabim. They used to put food for animals in it, literally date pits, and the animals would eat there. These trenches created by definition a mechitza. Because they were a mechitza, you cannot make one era for the entire city. So what happened? So Rabbi Bar Avua used to go ahead and make a separate era for each neighborhood. I will say a neighborhood, as we'll see, ultimately is a couple of chaseros joined together. So right, or a couple of mavuos joined together. So you go ahead and you make a separate era for each neighborhood, and each neighborhood was the shiur. Each neighborhood was the omitted part for its fellow. What do you see from there? So we'll say, what do you see from there? You see from there that the excluded part, meaning the fact that Rabbi Bar Avua, that's Rabbi Bar Avua. Who was it? Rabbi Bar Avua. Rabbi Bar Avua allowed the other neighborhood to constitute the excluded part in order to make the era for the included neighborhood. So what do you see from there? That although the included neighborhood could not have made an era with the excluded area, it still works to be the shiur. What you see from there is, in order for an area to constitute an excluded area for era purposes, it need not have the ability to be included in the Erev as well. Therefore, Abaye says, these riverfront homes, I don't think we even need to go ahead and make the windows there. Hilchach, Navdin, excuse me, Hadr Amr, then he said, Lo Dami, maybe the cases aren't comparable. Hasam Ibadi de Erev Ederach Gagos, because again, in the case of Mechuza, they could have joined the various Rishuyos together by way of the rooftops. Apparently you could have gone from one area to another area via the rooftops. Vahani lo ma'arvi. But however, in this case over here, in this city of Kukiani, they could not have made an eruv to the rooftops. Therefore, na'av din kavoy. So maybe we should go back to the original plan. Let's make windows. So let's make windows in Trabos. And now his plan right now is let's make windows in the riverfront homes. Right, windows facing the rest of the city, that constitutes an entrance. Therefore, the mice of these riverfront homes are now technically can be included as part of the Erev in the city. Once they can be included as part of the Erev in the city, now we can exclude them from the Erev, and that's the Shir. Hadar Amar Kavli Nami Lo Boy. And then he said, you know, no, I take it back. We don't need the windows. Why? That Ahu Beitibna Dahavili Lamar Bar Pupi Dosa. Mipumpedisa, a real tongue twister over here, because there was the straw house, not a house made of straw, but a home or a structure in which he stored straw, a straw storehouse. The Harile Lamar from Pumpedisa, the Shavi Yashir the Pumpedisa, and they made that straw house into the Shir, into the excluded area of Pumpedisa. What do you see from that, Rabosa? You see from that number one, the excluded area need not be a domicile. Once the excluded area need not be a domicile, then what? Then you could go ahead and exclude these riverfront homes, even if there is no window or entranceway facing the city. So let's say, at the end of the day, that's what Abaye did. Abaye took that row of homes by the riverfront, did not in the end do any kind of construction and put in windows, even though they could not technically be included in the area in the city. They still work to be used as the shir, as the excluded area, and he was able to make the era for the city of Kukiani. So the Gemara says, "Amar Hainu de Amar Limar Chazi de Lo Mitzavchas Alei Bebe Midrasha." Sabai says, "If you want to know why I'm going through all of these steps, this is what my Rebbe meant when he told me make an Erev that can't be disputed in the Beis Medrash." So Zadis, he had to go through all of these steps to be able to come to the right approach as to making an Erev for this city. So remember again, the first opinion in the Mishnah was that the excluded area has to be at least the size of the city of Chadasha in Yehuda that had 50 residents. So the Gemara says, Tanya Amar Yehuda, Ir Achas Haisa Yehuda, the Chadasha Shema. There literally was a city in Yehuda, and the name of the city was Chadasha. V'hayuba Nun Diurin. And there are 50 people who lived there, Anashim, Nashim, Etaf, men, women, and children. And the rabbis used this city as an example of an excluded area for Erev purposes. So the Gemara says, "Vehi ha'is shir." And again, this city itself of Chadasha was the shir, was the excluded area for apparently some larger area. Ibayilahu Chadasha mahu. So the Gemara says, "What about Chadasha itself? What do you do in making an era for the city of Chadasha? Do you need to exclude any area within Chadasha?" To which the Gemara says, no. Chadasha ki hechi di'iyu hav yeshir l'gidola, gidola nami hav yeshir l'kitana. Also, that can't be, because just in the same way that Chadasha was the excluded area for the larger city, so the larger city is considered to be the exclusion for a Chadasha. Ela ke'ein Chadasha mahu. Rather, what the Gemara is asking is, what about a city like Chadasha, a small city like Chadasha? What is the halach in terms of excluding an area? Rav Huna, Rav Yehuda, Chad Amar Bayashir, Shir, Chad Amar Lo Bayashir. So it's Machlokes, right? One opinion said that you require even an excluded area for even a small city like Chadasha, and the other said, no, for such a small city like Chadasha, you do not require any kind of Shir. Rav Shimon Omer Gimel Chatzeros. So also remember, in the Mishnah, Rav Shimon disagreed with Rav Yehuda. And Rav Shimon says, all you need to disagree with, all you need to omit, all you need to exclude, is an area of three chatzeros that each have at least two homes in it. So the Gemara says, Rav Shimon, Amar Gimel chatzeros, Amar Rav Chama Bar Gurya Amar Rav, Halach Rav Shimon, the Halach follows Rav Shimon. People say, you don't need to exclude an area the size of the city of Chadasha. Rather, all you need to do is exclude an area of at least three chatzeros that have at least two residents each. So the Gemara says, Rav Yitzchak Amar Afilu Bayis Echad B'Chatzer Echad B'Chatzer Achos. So Gemara says, Rav Yitzchak says, no, you can even exclude one house and one Chatzer. Chatzer Achos Sakadaitcha. Now I will say, when the Gemara says one Chatzer, it makes it sound like even one Chatzer without any residents. Ela Ema Bayis Echad B'Chatzer Achos. Rather, what Rav Yitzchak means is, no, you can even exclude one Chatzer that only has one home in it. Amar Abayi Rav Yosef. Had Rav Yitzchak Gemara Osvara. So Abayi says to Rav Yosef, Rav Yitzchak's statement that all you need to do is exclude one chatzer with one house. We'll say, remember, Rav Yitzchak's logic ultimately is that the exclusion is symbolic, right? The exclusion is there to remind the residents of the city that there is a concept of carrying. Because remember, we'll say, if you think about this, we struggle with this contemporarily. When you have an Erev in a city, you can grow up not even realizing that what? That there's even a concept of not carrying on Shabbos. So therefore, what the Gemara is saying is, you have to exclude some area, so that people see that there's some area that's outside of the Eruv, and people see there's some area outside of the Eruv, that reminds them of the concept of Hotzah. So Rav Yitzchak therefore says, if it's just simply merely symbolic like that, all you need to do is exclude just one Chatzar with one home. So Abai asks Rav Yosef, the statement of Rav Yitzchak Gimara, meaning, was this a tradition that he received? Of Svara, or was this his own logic? Amar lei, my nafka lan mine. So Rav Yosef gives a very interesting answer. He says, what do you care? Right? What does it matter to you? This is Rav Yitzchak's position. What does it matter if he received it from his Rebbe, or ultimately if it's his own Svara? Amar lei Abayi responds, Gemara gomor zemurta tehei. We have to learn Gemara, and you want to turn it into a song? And you will say, what does that mean? That ultimately, again, if halacha is to be authentic, we have to understand where people got things from. So Abayi says, what is this, a sing-song? This is a sing-along that we just say the words and it doesn't matter to us where it comes from? No, I need to know, did Rav Yitzchak come to this on his own, or was this his Mesorah? Mishnah. Misha Haya, Misha Ibn Mizrach, Va'amar libno, Arev libamarav. So someone who was standing in the east, and he said to his son, make me an Erev in the west. Bimarav, or he's standing in the west. Va'amar libno, Arev libamizrach. We'll see what this means in just a moment. Make for me an Erev in the east. Im yesh heimenu ula beso apayim amo, ula eruvo yosir mikan, mutra la beso, va'asra la eruvo. So we'll say, I want to show you something. So take a look. If anybody has the picture books, now's a good time to... I thought we had more copies around. I guess not. All right. So this is picture 225. This is picture 225. So we're dealing now with the case where the Mishnah is making the assumption right now that this is the way the case works. That a person is asking his son to go ahead and establish an Eruv for him in a different direction than he is in. So the Gemara says the effectiveness of this designation all depends on where the person is in relation to his Eruv and relation to his home. So the Gemara says, so for example, I'm standing in the east, I ask my son to make for me an Eruv in the west, or vice versa. If the Mishnah says, Im yesh hemenu ula beso apayim amo, if I am within 2,000 amos of my home, ula eruvo yosra mikan, but I'm more than 2,000 amos from the Eruv, right, from where I tell my son to create the Eruv, then what?
Mutar lebeso, I can go home, but I can't go to my Erev. One of those robots, what the Mishnah is saying is, in order for a makom shvisa to go ahead and what? And to work, in order for an Erev to work, it has to be accessible to you at the time when it's being made. If it's not accessible to you, and access, the Gemara is, the Mishnah's understanding right now is within 2,000 amos. If it's not accessible to you, then lemaisa, that's not called a makom shvisa. So the Gemara says, look at Rashi for just a moment. So Mishayu b'mizrach basada v'kidish alav sham hayom. Because we're talking about over here, obviously a situation where this is happening in the moments before Shabbos, or as Shabbos is approaching. But Amar no le'erev la'ariv mi ba'od yom le'ma'arav le'iruv yosim mikan shnasan eirav beisov ahalav. Fine. So that's the first case in the Mishnah. Le'iruvo apayim amo ulabeisov yosim mikan. But this is just the reverse. If I'm within 2,000 amos to the eruv, but my home is further, then what? Aser lebeiso umutar le'iruvo. Then I can travel to my home, but I can't travel to my eruv. So we'll say same logic, that essentially you are permitted to the area in which is accessible to you at the onset of Shabbos. If the eruv was, so whatever is within 2,000 amos is essentially becomes your makom shavisa. So the Gemara says, Hanosin es eruv ve'iburo shalir. If one puts his eruv in literally the extended boundary of the city. Now, we'll say we've spoken about this a little bit in passing. Every city has a built-in ibur, a built-in boundary. And that boundary is 70 and two-thirds amas. Right? So 70 and two-thirds amas within the walls of the city is still considered to be the city. This is even before the tchum. It's still considered to be the city. So the Gemara says, if you were to go ahead and put an Eruv, you were to create a Makom Shvisa within this city boundary, you have effectively not done anything. Now the reason you've not done anything, Rabosa, is because Lemaisa, the Tchum is only measured from the edge of the Ibor, from the edge of the boundary anyway. So putting your Eruv within the boundary has not halachically affected anything. V'lasa v'lo klum, nas nochutz l'tchum, if you put your Erev outside of your Tchum, now Rashi points out over here, Nas Nechutz L'Tchum is the last Rashi on the page. It doesn't literally mean outside of the Tchum, but rather what it means is if you put your Erev outside of the boundary, Afilu Ama Achos, even one Ama, Ma Sheniskar Humafsid, what you gain in one direction, Rabosai, you lose in the other direction, which is what we've been, that's the premise we've been working on until now. That remember, the whole way that an Erev works is whatever you gain going one way, you ultimately will lose going the other way. Rashi says, Masha Niskar, L'ruach Zeh, Nifsad L'ruach Shekinegda. So what you gain in the direction that you are making the Erev, you lose in the other direction. Shehari Mana Min Ha'Erev, Apayim L'chol Ruach, Demnasna b'sof elef lemizrach nimta sheklos apayim shal mizrach b'sof nun. So we'll say, so for example, if you were to go ahead and let's say put your eruv 1,000 amos into your tchum on the northern direction, that by definition means you lose 1,000 amos in your southern direction. Says the Gemara, kasal gadaitcha lemizrach mizrach beso lemarav marav beso. Now, both say, the way we understand this first case, the Mishnah initially, is that what happens? I'm standing in the east of my house, and I ask my son to make an Erev to the west of my house. Which, again, I both say, would essentially mean that Lamaisa, the way this is working is, if you could imagine, the house is in the middle, I'm standing facing the house. That will call that east, right? Then I tell my son to make an Erev to the west, which essentially is behind the house, going in the other direction. So the house is in between me and the Erev, and the Makom Shvisa. So the Gemara says, Bishlama heimenu ula beisa paim amo, ula eruvo yose mikan mashkachas lo, demati la beisa vila mati la eruvo. So therefore, in the case of where the Mishnah says that I'm within 2,000 amos of my home, but not within 2,000 amos of my Erev, I hear that case. I understand that case. Because again, I will say, if I'm imagining it, then I'm standing in the east in front of my house, and I ask my son to make an Eruv in the west behind my house, I understand how I'm within 2,000 amos of my home, but not necessarily within 2,000 amos of my Eruv. But how can you have a case, Rabbi Osai, of where I'm within 2,000 amos of my Eruv, but not within 2,000 amos of my home? If we're setting up the case of where I'm standing in front of my home and the Erev is being established in back of my home, how can I ever be within 2,000 amos of my Erev and not 2,000 amos of my home? Rabbi Yitzchak, no. Mi savris le mizrach beso, le ma'arav beso. Do you think that when the Mishnah says you're standing in the east or you're standing in the west, that's in relation to your house? No. Lo. Le mizrach beno, le ma'arav beno. When the Mishnah speaks about standing to the east or to the west, it's not talking about my relationship to the house, it's talking about my relationship to my son, to the person I'm asking to make the Eruv. Right, they will say, so therefore, in that case then, the Mishnah is talking about my directional relation to where my son is. If that's the case, then Lemaisa, I can be closer to the Eruv than to my home. Rabbi Bar Rav Shila Amar Afilu Tema Lemizrach Lemizrach Beso. Rabbi Bar Rav Shila says, no, you can even go with the case that we originally thought, that Mizrach means the Mizrach of his home. Ulemarav Lemarav Beso, like we thought before. Aye, so what about our question that we had before? How can you ever be closer to the Eruv than to your home? Simple. What's the case? The case, Rabbi Bosai, is where I'm standing at a diagonal to my home. And Rabbi Bosai, again, if you have the picture box, picture 227, where again, instead of going ahead and visualizing it, that I'm standing in front of my home, right, and therefore, and the Eruv is, let's say, now in back of my home, in which case we can't really figure out a case of where I'd be closer to my Eruv than being closer to my home. No, the case where I'm standing at a diagonal. And I'm standing at a diagonal, so I'm standing, oh, so also if you imagine that as a triangle, and I am standing at the tip of the triangle, and therefore, again, I can go in either direction to my home or to my Eruv. So that's the case where the Maaseh of the Mishnah says, if I'm within 2,000 amos to my home, that becomes my Makom Shvisa. If I'm within 2,000 amos to my Eruv, that becomes my Makom Shvisa. Hanosin Eruv B'Sochi Bura, Chutz L'Tchum. So also, the Gemara says, remember the Mishnah said that if a person goes ahead and puts the Eruv inside the city boundary, he hasn't effectively done anything. But if he puts it even one amma outside of the Tchum, and then he has affected an Eruv. So the Gemara says, Chutz L'Tchum, Sagadai Tchum, do you think it literally means outside of the Tchum? Ela'imo Chutz L'Ibura. It doesn't mean outside of the Tchum, but rather what it means is outside of the boundary. Hey, we said that in the Mishnah. Masha Niskar Hu Mafsid. So Rabbi, remember what the Mishnah said, that when making an Eruv, what you gain in one direction, you lose in the other directions. So the Gemara says, Masha Niskar Hu Mafsid, Masha Niskar V'Sulo. Now Rabbi, is that to say that all you lose is the same amount that you gain? Meaning, is so now what the Mishnah seems to be saying is, if I make an Eruv to the north, so let's say, for example, I place the Eruv within 1,000 amos of my tchum to the north. So now I'm going to gain an extra 1,000 amos to the north. I lose that 1,000 amos to the south. So the Gemara says, is that all you lose? Vatanya, but we learned, Hanosin es Eruv B'Sochi Buro Shalir. If a person puts his Eruv within the boundary of the city, lo asav lo klom. He didn't do anything. So also that we know already. Because remember, within the 72-thirds amos, that's still considered the city, and therefore you have not effectively elongated the Eruv. However, nasno chutz li'iburo shalir, if you placed it outside of the boundary of the city, afilu ama achas, even one ama, mistakir osa ama, you go ahead and you benefit from that ama, umafsid es kol ha'ir. But Rabbi said, what you end up losing is what? You end up losing the entire city. Now, what does that mean? Look at Rashi for just a moment. Mistakir osa ama l'ruach ha'eruv. So you get the benefit of that ama for the entire, right, for the direction of the eruv. V'hefsid midas kol ha'ir l'ruach shekinegda. Chishayimdor apayim me'eruv olatzad ha'ir ta'alelo midas ha'ir minach hashpot. Suppose that, interestingly enough, take a look over here. There's a good picture of this, actually. No picture here. Sorry, just look at that Rashi once more. Mistakir osa ama l'ruach ha'eruv. So we'll say now again, when you go ahead and you place your eruv, let's say one ama outside of the ibur of the boundary, so you go ahead and you benefit in that direction. However, look at Rashi very carefully. V'hifsid midas kol ha'ir l'ruach shekinegda. But what you end up losing is the measurement of the city in the opposite direction. Because when you go ahead and you measure 2,000 amos from your eruv to the side of the city, this measurement of the city will go ahead and count towards it. And I will say, what does that mean? Remember how the eruv works. when you go ahead and you establish a makom shvisa, right? I establish an eruv. So what happens? So what my eruv says is I begin to count 2,000 amos from the eruv and forward. Now remember, let's say for argument's sake, I am placing my eruv right at the border of the city, right at the border of the boundary. So they both say, now let's say I'm placing a northward eruv. So what happens? Now from my home to the eruv counts as how much space? From my home to the eruv counts as nothing. Right? Remember, that's Dalet Amos. That's Dalet Amos. And I get 2,000 Amos from the space. What about now in the other direction? What about now from my Eruv to the southern direction? You see, interestingly enough, from my home to the Eruv, the entire span of the city just counts as Dalet Amos. It's all considered to be just a Dalet Amos area. But from my Eruv in the other direction, let's say southward, then what do? If I want to figure out how far I could travel southward, I have to count the entire distance of the city. So it's not just the pshat, you see what the Gemara is saying, it's not just the pshat that what you gain in one direction, you lose in the other direction, you actually end up losing much more. Because in the direction of your Eruv, let's say again, I could be 2,000 amos from my Eruv. But that 2,000 amos in the direction of my Eruv, of the city, counts as what? Dalet Amos. But yet the city in the other direction, the non-Eruv direction, I have to measure as an actual measurement. So you're losing much more than just simply what you gained. To which the Gemara says...
So if the city itself were 2,000 amos, you would have nothing?
Nothing. Correct. So the Gemara says, V'sulav atanya, hanos nesiru v'sulav ibura shalir, lo asav lo klum, nos nechutz li ibura shalir, if you place it outside of the boundary of the city, afilu ama achos, mistakir osa ama, umafsit es kol ha'ir kula. To which the Gemara says, "Look, Kasha, it's not a contradiction. Kan shekalsa midasa bechatzia ir, kan shekalsa midasa besof ha'ir." So we'll say now what the Gemara is suggesting over here is what they're actually talking about is where does the tchum measurement itself actually end? The Gemara wants to suggest that if the tchum measurement ends in the middle of the city, that's when lemaisa, we have to reckon the actual measurement of the city. So for example, let's say if you want to see this, so for example, this is picture 228. So now my Eruv is somewhere outside of the city. So remember again, I now have 2,000 amos going, let's call it the northern direction. When I measure back from my Eruv into the city, if the measurement of the 2,000 amos going in the other direction ends in the middle of the city, then all I have is that amount of actual measurement of the city. However, if we're measuring back, let's say the measurement of the city was only 1,000 amos. So if now measuring backwards in the other non-Eruv direction, I actually go past the city, then what? Then indeed the entire city is treated like Dalet Amos. So we'll say again, this is a little bit of a different situation now. So far, in all of our discussions about Tchum, we've always been focused on the direction in which you are making the Tchum. So now I want to go northward. I establish an Eruv northward. We've always been focusing on how far can you go northward. Now the Gemara is asking, fine, I know how far you can go northward. Now what I'm focusing on is what? How far can you go southward? How far south can you go? Right? How far south can you go? So now remember, the Gemara is going to say, and I will say now, the interesting difference over here is, when measuring in the direction of my Eruv, the entire city is considered like Dalet Amos. Now the Gemara is saying, but when we're measuring south, the entire city is not considered Dalet Amos. So what does it depend on? Or how do we measure the city in the other direction? It depends. When measuring in the non-Eruv direction, let's call it, I want to go north. So the non-Eruv direction is south. So everything depends on where those 2,000 amos end up. The Gemara is suggesting if the 2,000 amos end up in the middle of the city, then that's what you got. That's what you got. However, if the 2,000 amos, let's say, extend, thank you, past the city, then indeed, even in the non-Eruv direction, you could treat it simply as Dalet Amos. So the Gemara says, Ukitrav Idi, Damrav Idi, Amrav Yoshua and Levi, Hayamode Dubav, a person is measuring his Eruv, the Kalsa Midasa Vachatzia here, and the Eruv ends in the middle of the city, Ainlo Ela Chatzia here, he only has that middle of the city. Kalsa Midasa Vesofa here, however, again, if his measurement extends past the city, then what? Naasis Kola Ir Kula Ke Dalet Amos. The entire city is treated like Dalet Amos. Umashlimin lo es ashar. And then Rabosa, you could continue to go ahead and count the tchum past that particular city. Amrav Idi, Ein elu ela divrei nevius. Ravidi says, literally, these are just words of prophecy. And I will say, that's not a compliment. That's actually an insult. Right? The words of prophecy means this is not rooted in anything. Mali kalsa b'chatsia ir, mali kalsa b'sofa ir. Who cares if the 2,000 amas end in the middle of the city, and who cares if they end past the city? What Ravidi wants to suggest, Rabosai, is that even when you measure southward in your non-Erev direction, even when you measure in your non-Erev direction, Lemaisa, just because that tchum, let's say, extends past the city, why does that allow you to make the city into Dalet Amos? The ability to treat the city like Dalet Amos only applies when? In your direction of the Erev. But once you're in your non-direction of the Erev, you have to measure it for what it is, whether that 2,000 Amos ends in the middle of the city or extends past the city. So we'll say, we'll stop over here for today. But just the point to remember that we're trying to focus on right now is the Mishnah made it sound like that what you gain in one direction, you lose in the other. And the Gemara, the way the Mishnah seems to set it up is it's almost just like a quid pro quo. And the Gemara is just suggesting, is that really true? Because at the end of the day, the greatest demonstration that that's not true is that in the direction of the Erev, the entire city is like Dalet Amos. In the other direction, the opposite direction, however, how do we measure the city? So now we have a machlokes. So one opinion says, Rabbi Idi Bar Avin says, no, when going in the non-direction of the Erev, you measure the city for what it is. You measure the city for what it is. That's it. Other opinion says, no, it depends on where the 2,000 amos in the non-Erev direction end. If the 2,000 amos in the non-Erev direction end in the middle of the city, that's what you got. If, however, they extend past the city, then what? Then the entire city can be treated like Dalet Amos, and indeed, you'd be able to treat it like that, just like much in the same way as it would work in the direction of the Erev. So the Rebbe said, that's the fundamental machlokes, which Emir Tashem will continue tomorrow.
You say you have the...